Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. All right, in today's episode, I'm going to be quoting from 2 different articles on 2 completely different stories. The reason I'm not just focusing on one story today is because I'm going to be touching on both relatively lightly. The first story, this is from CNN, though there are multiple sources reporting on this, is that Iceland has just declared a national security threat over the slowdown of the AMOC. No doubt you are familiar with the AMOC if you have listened to the episodes on this podcast in regards to the topic. If not, I recommend doing a search and going back to find them. But in short, the AMOC is short for the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. It is a current that brings warm water up the Atlantic to the north and carries cold water away. That current has been slowing down in the previous decades, hitting a potential turning point in the 1970s. And these currents are known for collapsing over time. This is a process that typically takes up to centuries to happen, or even millennia. However, as we know, with our effects on the Earth and our current climate change situation, we're speeding everything up at a much faster rate than is normal in the geological timescales. In a previous episode about the AMOC, we made light of the movie The Day After Tomorrow, which is basically all about this idea of the AMOC collapsing. That's one of those like terror, doom porn movies, Hollywood style, epic, you know, one day everything's fine and normal, and the next day there's massive tidal waves, North America freezes over overnight, we've got a protagonist who works to save the day, etc., etc. Reality is much different than this, of course. This is something that we have known is happening for some time now and will continue to happen into the future. Now, scientists, much like the protagonist in that film, do view this as a serious threat. The CNN article here says, when scientists are asked which potential climate impact terrifies them most, the collapse of the AMOC is often top of the list, which is interesting because there are many impacts from climate change. So for them to say that this is one of the most terrifying, I think, is very consequential. A growing body of research points to the AMOC slowing down as higher global temperatures disrupt the delicate balance of heat and salinity on which its strength relies. The science is still unsettled on the likelihood and timing of any collapse, but some studies have projected it could be on course to happen this century. So there it mentions salinity. One of the main causes of the slowdown is that as glaciers melt in and around Greenland, that is fresh water that is melting into the ocean that disrupts the salinity balance, and the amount of salinity affects whether the water sinks or rises. That fresh water being introduced disrupts the flow of the current. It also mentioned the temperatures as temperatures change. And we know that oceans are responsible for carrying much of that extra energy that we're sort of absorbing into the planet because of our greenhouse gases. And so the oceans are primarily affected by climate change. Going back to the article, it says a shutdown of the AMOC cannot be considered a low likelihood risk anymore in view of the evolving science over the past years, said Stefan Ramstorff, a physical oceanographer and climatologist who has studied the AMOC at Potsdam University in Germany. The impacts would be catastrophic, ushering in huge global weather and climate shifts, including rising sea levels in parts of the US and Europe, disrupted monsoon systems affecting countries in Asia and Africa, and a winter deep freeze in Europe, with sea ice potentially creeping southward as far as the United Kingdom. Now, this whole article again is about Iceland, and Iceland declaring this a national security threat. It says Iceland would be closer to this, or would be close to the center of a serious regional cooling, meaning the country could be surrounded by sea ice. It's an existential threat, Johansson told CNN. The AMOC regulates Iceland's weather, and its collapse could devastate infrastructure, transport, and vital industries, including fishing. The decision reflects the seriousness of the issue and ensures that the matter gets the attention it deserves. In practice, the designation will mean a high-level coordinated government response to understand the threat and work out how to prevent and mitigate the worst consequences. Johansson said, Iceland's decision marks a shift in how the country understands climate risks. What we do know is that the current climate might change so drastically that it could become impossible for us to adapt. He said, in short, this is not just a scientific concern, it's a matter of national survival and security. All right, so it is interesting here then to see how seriously Iceland is taking this. Look, the AMOC and research around it has really only begun in the last couple of decades. Our records only go back to like 2000, what did I see, 2002 or 2008, something like that. Let's see, 2004. Because this was just not something that we really understood well, and we may still not understand super well. They've used sort of signatures to be able to go back and predate, try to understand how it's changed over time. And again, those shifts show that since 1970s is when a shift really started to begin, and it is accelerating now. There is a wide discrepancy in the research as far as what to expect as far as the timeline goes. Again, with some saying that the AMOC could collapse this century, sometime post-2037 is sort of the earliest date that's listed, while other research says that it'll be well after 2100. The slowdown, in the meantime, which is happening, it's demonstrable, will have an effect. It doesn't require a total collapse for there to be any effect. So climate will continue to adjust and shift and change sort of along the way. But one of the most sort of terrifying aspects to me about climate change is, I think, how little we really do truly understand about it. This is our first experience as a human species going through a change of the climate like this. All we have is historical data and these sort of signatures that we can look back on, the paleoclimatology efforts to understand the past, and then make the best arguments and assumptions and sort of hypotheses that we can, put those into models, and then hope that the models are accurate. And they're not. We've seen so many adjustments to the models just in the last few years that we've been doing this podcast. And the theme over and over and over again is faster than expected, sooner than expected, more intense than expected, or frankly, different than expected, simply because the models just can't get it right. I don't blame scientists for this. We're talking about something that is simply too complex for us to really be able to grasp with current technologies. So anyway, that's to say, we'll have to watch and see over the coming decades, how do the models adjust? What do the expectations say? Right now they're saying the earliest they expect this is the mid-2030s. You know, 5 years from now in 2030, will they still be saying that? Will it be out further? Will it be closer? I don't know. We'll keep watching. But in the meantime, Iceland is taking it seriously and saying we need to consider this a threat and we need to start putting resources towards either adapting, mitigating, or otherwise figuring out how we're going to survive as this shift occurs. Climate scientists, again, were asked what was one of the most terrifying impacts of climate change, and they said the AMOC. One of the most terrifying consequences of climate change, to me, is the migration aspect. Iceland is not a super highly populated country, but what about the rest of Northern Europe? Where are they going to go? And at a time when there is migration from other parts of the world, potentially to Europe, because those parts of the world are becoming too hot or too dry. Famines are becoming too consistent. Wars as a result of those famines are becoming too consistent. At what point is there just nowhere to flee? So that is, if you were to ask me, what terrifies me, it is this idea of migration with eventually nowhere to go. All right, the other article that I wanted to read here, this one will be a little bit quicker, is that the first U.S. human bird flu case in 9 months confirmed with a strain only seen in animals before. So this is just another quick update on the bird flu front. It's been a while in the U.S. since we've had any cases. It seemed to have slowed down in humans. It did not slow down in animals. At least globally, it is still running rampant. There is a bunch of changes happening to the strains, mutations. It's appearing in various animals, and it continues to evolve on that front. On the U.S. side of things and in humans, though, 9 months without a case until earlier this month, there is now one in Washington state. And again, it is interesting to note that this is in a new strain. Now, this person did have a backyard flock of birds. I'm guessing he had some like chickens in the backyard. And those chickens may have been exposed to wild birds. What I found interesting and frankly somewhat humorous about this article, this was in ABC News, is the number of times they make sure to say that the threat is low in humans. I don't know if they're just trying really hard to make it so people don't panic, but it's a very brief article, so I'm actually just going to read it. This will take me like 2 minutes to read through this article and just note how many times it says not to worry. A Washington state resident has tested positive for bird flu, marking the first human case confirmed in the U.S. in 9 months. The patient, who is an older adult with underlying health conditions, developed symptoms including high fever, confusion, and respiratory distress, and was hospitalized in early November, according to the Washington State Department of Health. Testing confirmed the patient has H5N5, a strain of bird flu that has previously been reported in animals but never before in humans, according to the Washington State Department of Health. However, officials say the risk to the public is low. No other identifiable information about the patient was made available, including name, age, or sex. The confirmation also marks the first human case of bird flu in the state this year, according to health officials. An investigation is underway to determine how the patient became infected, including determining if they came into contact with wild or domestic birds. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention said it is monitoring this situation closely. While this is an active investigation, at this time, there is no information to suggest the risk to public health has increased as a result of this case, the CDC said. The patient has a mixed backyard flock of domestic poultry at their home that had exposure to wild birds. Health officials say that domestic poultry or wild birds are the most likely source of exposure. Public health officials are also contacting anyone the patient may have been in close contact. Health officials say there is currently no risk to the public and that WSDOH is working with local health department and health care facilities to support the investigation. Two things for the public really to understand about this is that the risk to the general public is very low and we've never had human-to-human transmission, state epidemiologist Dr. Scott Lindquist said in a media briefing on Thursday. We don't want to be the first, obviously, and we're going to be careful and make sure that we're not missing that. Bird flu, also known as avian influenza, has been present in birds for decades, but in recent years it has started to infect more and more mammals. In early March 2024, the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced a bird flu strain that had sickened millions of birds across the U.S. was identified in several mammals this year. A few weeks later, federal and state public health officials said they were investigating an illness among primarily older dairy cows in Kansas, New Mexico, and Texas. Shortly after that, the first bird flu infection in a human was in the U.S., reported in a Texas dairy worker. Since then, there have been at least 70 confirmed cases among humans in the U.S., not counting the Washington state patient, according to the CDC. Most human cases have occurred after coming into contact with infected cattle, infected poultry, farms, or other culling operations. The majority of cases have been mild, with symptoms such as red eyes and fever, but a few have resulted in more severe symptoms. In January, the first bird flu death was confirmed among an older patient with underlying conditions. The CDC and other public health officials say there is currently no evidence of human-to-human transmission, and the risk to the general public is low. So anyway, I think I counted like five or six in that very brief article in which they specifically stated the danger to the public is low. And I mean, I agree with that, that for the time being, this is a low threat to the public, but as always, it is a numbers game. The more animals infected, the more mutations it goes through, the more that it works its way through mammals like pigs or ferrets, the higher the probability becomes that it mutates in a way that can infect from one human to the next. It is good that we have seen in multiple strains that the cases have been mild, or at least more mild than the 50% death rate that was previously known to have come from the bird flu, but there is no telling exactly what would happen in a strain that was human-to-human transmittable. All right, as always, I'll keep my eyes on the news. Feel free to reach out to me anytime. Let me know of things that are interesting to you in the news that you would like to see mentioned here. I can't, you know, promise to go through them all, but I'm always interested to hear what is interesting to you. Thanks for being here. See you tomorrow. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.